This is episode 84 with Erland Backe.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxy.
Erland Backe is a Norwegian serial entrepreneur, speaker, and number one international best-selling author, born in 1981 in the London, United Kingdom. He currently owns the following three companies: Mr. Outsource, 360, and 360 Factory. Erland speaks on topics on entrepreneurship with a focus on how to automate and outsource your business to avoid the trap of becoming a business prisoner. He spends most of his time between London, Oslo, and Davao City in Philippines. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, so your background is international, essentially. You've got a lot of things that you do. You speak, you're an entrepreneur, and you're also in several countries. So why don't you give us a little background into your story and how you really came across this this business that you have.
So at the moment, I'm actually in London. I was actually born in Wimbledon. And this is also where I started my first company in 2007. So I was working in a corporate job. I was working as a brand consultant with clients like Disney and BlackBerry and Eurostar and Orange, the telecoms company, the fifth biggest in the world, and I got fired. So I really had to do some deep soul searching, and to do that, I really, you know, I called up people that I thought would have some positive input on who I am as a person, who I was as a person. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys I talked to was an entrepreneur, and he was like, yeah, why don't you start a business? You know, maybe you can start a business with somebody else. But, you know, starting a business, and that kind of was rooted in my past as well. When I was 14, I got a job at the local grocery store because I just wanted to make money. You know, I just wanted to make my own money, have my own money, give me that sense of freedom. So I could buy whatever I wanted without my parents going, oh, you can't buy that. I won't give you money for that. I wanted my own money to buy whatever I wanted. When I was 16, I took this tennis coaching course, which basically, so I was a tennis coach at the local club, and then I went to the biggest club in Norway. I was a coach there. And at some point, I was given the opportunity to manage a tennis club in Norway. So I was at a crossroads when I was like 21, where I could choose to go study, or I could be a manager of a tennis club. And I actually chose to go study in Edinburgh, Scotland, instead of managing that tennis club, which I think intuitively, like, a part of me really wanted to do the tennis club thing. But in my family, everybody was studying, all my friends were studying, it was kind of like, my peer group was doing that, so I did that. But I didn't study law or business. I actually studied product design. So I learned how to build products and how to manufacture them and how to test materials and how to do graphic design in 3D CAD and all that stuff. So it's a very sort of entrepreneurial study. And all the projects that we had were always like, you know, go research a market and then figure out what product to make and then launch it. So it was very similar to the entrepreneurial stuff that I do now.
Yeah,
actually,
that's interesting.
Okay. So I just chose a different route.
And then along that route, you started to figure out different ways you could travel and build a business. Can you talk more about that?
Well, in the early days, I was just interested in making money. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I also read another book, How to Get Rich. Those were kind of my two first personal development books on business. And you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad is very focused on, you know, how not to be an employee and how to leverage other people's time and how to buy real estate. And you know, if you're not rich, you're a loser. He basically says that in the book. So I was very, very motivated by those two books, and yeah, just went for the money. So I wasn't really interested in travel at all. But in 2009, so basically I've been in business for 1 year in London, which I started a my friend had started a 360 photography company. I joined him for a minority share, and then after 1 year, I left and went back to Oslo, where I started my own company, which was the exact same company, just offering those services in Norway. And making money was a lot more complicated than I realized. There were lots of challenges that I never, ever thought about. I had this idea that if I just every day got up and I gave it everything I had, then I would become a millionaire before the age of 35. I'm 33 now. I'm still not a millionaire. If you have issues when you don't have money, you're going to have the same issues when you do have money, unless you kind of go through and fix them. And I think that's been one of the really big learning outcomes for me, has been like, it's not about the money. It's actually about getting up and enjoying what you're doing, you know, collaborating, adding value, growing as a person. You know, I think it's a Jim Rohn quote that reaching goals isn't really about the goal, it's about who you have to become to reach the goal. And those are the kind of things that I would just laugh at. If somebody had said that to me years and years ago, I would have probably said, yeah, whatever, I'll just give me the money. Show me the money, right?
Right. Show me the money.
Show me the money. Basically, I didn't start focusing on travel until a friend of mine in 2009, actually my ex-business partner, he said, hey, Erland, you should check out this book, 4-Hour Workweek. I think you'll really like it. And I remember reading that book. I read it, and I was blown away. And then I read it again, and then I read it again, and then I read it again. And then, you know, I started realizing that, you know, what I wanted wasn't money. It was the experiences that I thought money would give me. And I realized that, if I want a Lamborghini, okay, here's the thing. Like, just go rent one. Go rent one for a day, drive around in it, see if you feel significant. Because, you know, a lot of people want money because they want to feel significant, especially male. Men want significance because they think that will give them all the other basic human needs. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing is, you know, it nothing really changes. Everybody's in their own movie, you know. So if you have a nice car, that doesn't really mean anything to anybody else but yourself. So I read the 4-Hour Workweek, and I started putting my attention on how to create a freedom business. So that's really how I got started in terms of travel and thinking about it. Didn't really have a major shift until 2010. So I've been in business for about 3 years. I was in London at a conference. I had a panic attack, and I was too young to have a panic attack. I just felt that was wrong for me to have a panic attack on the underground. And I was actually brought to hospital. It was a very long panic attack, and there was all the stress that had built up over 3 years of, you know, working 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, always chasing the goal, not really knowing why I was chasing the goal. I think I was chasing the goal because of insecurities about myself. You know, I thought that, you know, if I had a cool car and I had a fancy house, that, you know, I would feel better about myself, basically. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you don't feel good now, you won't feel good then.
Yeah.
If you can't appreciate the stuff that you have in your life right now, you won't appreciate the stuff that you have when you get there. Because there's always going to be somebody with a nicer car or a nicer yacht or you know, whatever. So I think that's been a really, really big learning lesson for me. And so when I had this panic attack, luckily I had read the 4-Hour Workweek. I had set up systems. I had leveraged other people's time, so that my company actually continued making money while I took about 3 to 4 months off, where I just focused on getting better, you know, like just stressing down and reading positive books and exercising, learning how to meditate, and all those things. So yeah, business is an incredible journey. And it was in 2011 where I did my first mini vacation. Actually, it wasn't a mini vacation because I left for 3 months for San Francisco. I also bought my dream car, which is kind of weird. Thinking about all the other stuff I said about money earlier, but I did buy my dream car, and my experience of that is something I've written about in my book Network Again. But basically, I did really enjoy it in the beginning, and then after a while, you know, I didn't get the attention and the sort of the car didn't make me feel the way that I thought I'd feel when I had it. And I realized that, oh, if this doesn't make me feel awesome, then other things that I'm going to buy aren't going to make me feel awesome either. So that was my first adventure. That was my first trip. And since then, I've lived all over the world. I've lived in San Francisco, London, New York. I've spent a lot of time traveling everywhere and living what I call the freedom lifestyle. Right now, I'm in London, and we're going to be staying here for quite a while. So that's long story short. Yeah.
you know, what's interesting about what you said is that you initially went there for the money. You wanted to see how much money you made, and then you quickly found that's, you know, you need to have a lot more incentive to be able to do something, right? To start a business. And then you got the panic attack, and then you started feeling a certain way. But it's almost like, it's not almost like, it's the business of hard knocks, basically. That you got business of hard knocks, hardcore MBA, like your podcast is. You basically got dealt a life lesson there. You figured out that you needed to find out your passion. You figured out you needed to find out a lot more about yourself than just having money as the end goal. Otherwise, it really wasn't going to secure that happiness that you thought material things were going to give you. Mm-hmm. And what you wanted was the lifestyle, right? The lifestyle and the things that you could actually, get with the money, but not necessarily money itself.
Mm. I think, like, if you want to feel like how it is to be a millionaire, I think just, you know, for one day, live like a millionaire. You know, save up $3,000, you know, hire a driver for the day, you know, get him to drive you around in a Rolls Royce, you know, stay at the Ritz, eat at the Michelin restaurant, you know. Yeah, just do it and, like, see how it feels. But if you think about it, like, for a lot of millionaires, their money actually owns them, their stuff owns them. Tony Robbins always talks about the Aldi guy that was like the 17th richest person in the world, and he dropped to like 40 and then he shot himself. I mean, that's pretty insane. But I'm not saying that money isn't important. Money is important. And it is important to have, you know, certain strategies and certain skill set as an entrepreneur, like an emergency fund. So basically, right now, I've got, you know, 35 employees, which, you know, rely on the companies that I own with my business partners to pay them a salary every day. And if you think about it, 35 people times four, you know, so it's like 150 people that rely on what we do every single month to feed their families. Mm. So, you know, you can view it like that, or you can view it as, oh, look at all the value we're adding to people. But, you know, that's focusing on that element in business, yeah, like, gives me positive energy. I find that when, like, every time I focus on money or myself, there's this other type of energy. There's this other feeling. And every time I go there, I feel like crap. You know, like, I don't feel like I'm on course for what I'm meant to be doing. So every time I go to, like, the enlightened self, where I think about contribution, collaboration, adding value, then I get this totally different way of feeling. And if you think about it, like, how do you think Richard Branson operates? Like, how do you think he thinks? Do you think he goes, oh, I'm going to get up today because I want to make more money? No, he doesn't.
He wants to add value.
He just wants to, you know, create cool stuff, uh-huh, inspire people, yep, create a better world. I mean, and the thing is, like, he probably has always lived in that space. So people ask themselves, like, how can I be successful? Well, there's different schools of success. Like, for me, more and more, it's the school of like, how can we just create lots of value here? You know, yeah, we want to have a profit, because without a profit, you can't grow your business, right? Then you're basically a charity. So I think early on, you need to decide if you're a charity or a business. A business has to have a profit, okay? So, but I think to be successful and happy in your business, you do need to come from a place where, you know, you ask yourself, how can I be a third level person? So a first level person is somebody that where it's all about them. It's like, give me, right? Give me stuff. What's in it for me? That's like the basic primal level of human existence. And then you have the level two, which is like, oh, if you do this, I'll do this, right? If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And then you have the third level person who kind of sees the bigger picture, right? Has the ability to say, oh, how can we add massive value to our clients? How can we improve something for a client before they come to us and say they want an improvement? I actually had a conversation with a client yesterday where, you know, he wanted an improvement, and I immediately went to the management team afterwards and said, you know, this is a level two thing. Like, we should have seen this before and made the improvement, and then told him about it and said, listen, now we're going to do things like this because it's going to improve what we sell to you. And I think I kind of feel like level three companies, we all know what kind of companies they are, right? The level three companies where, Virgin is that kind of company. Actually, Living Social, I would say, is that kind of company.
Okay.
And there's lots of other companies like that. But you can only create a level three company by being a level three person. And you can only attract talent that are level three kind of people if you are a level three type of person. Right, so many entrepreneurs, they say, oh, people are shit, they don't show up, they lie, they cheat, blah, 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 blah. You know, leveraging other people's time doesn't work. But here's the thing, like, if you are a level three type of person, you'll attract level three type of people and clients. And that's when you kind of live in this better place than level two, which most business people are, right? It's like, I'll pay you this, you do this for me. That's like the standard agreement between an business owner and a worker. It's like, yeah, exactly. Okay, pay me. Sorry?
No. I was agreeing with you. I definitely agree with that. Level two, level three, you have to be that type of person that you want to attract. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you train entrepreneurs. You show them how to start, run, and own their own freedom businesses through your seminar, the Freedom Bootcamp. Can you talk a little bit more about that, and then and what some steps people can use to take to do that?
Okay. So what does a freedom business mean? I think that's really important. And now, a freedom business is what I talked about earlier in terms of, you know, figuring out how you can come from a place where you really enjoy what you do. I think that's the foundation for success. And then being able to stay there on a daily basis. And that is more challenging than most people realize. I think it's, in theory, we can hear something and go, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Like, if you saw somebody that's overweight, like, what do you need to do to lose weight? I think they already know the answer, right? They need to change their diet. They need to move, right? And need to get maybe a little more sleep. That's like, so intellectually, we typically know what to do. But the challenge comes when we physically have to make it happen. And that's what separates the pros from the amateurs in everything. Action takers get rewarded. So on the 17th of September, we are actually doing a free training with myself. So it starts on the 17th of September. And the next one's on Sunday the 20th. And then we're going to round off on September 22nd, and you can go to youwillneverworkagain.com/launch, and there will also be probably a link in the show notes. Is
absolutely
that right?
Yeah, there will be a link in the show notes and all that.
So it's basically a free webinar. You can watch it from anywhere in the world. There will be a recording, but you do have to sign up to get the recording. And the things I'm going to go through there is, you're going to learn the exact secrets to transform your passion into a money-making machine. You don't need any experience. I'm going to guide you through each stage. and process from start to finish. And these are the escape the 9-to-5 strategies that I have used for the past 4 or 5 years, and it works every single time. So I'm going to look at what the masters of business do and have done for centuries, how they build companies, and I'm going to talk you through my step-by-step strategies, basically, to starting, owning, and running a freedom business so you can travel the world.
Absolutely.
So so that starts on the 17th. There's also a free giveaway of my book on the 15th of September. So just go to the website and register, and then you'll get all the information there. You want to mention the? Do you want me to mention the prices as well?
Yeah, please. And anything that would get them, you know, that would inform the audience would be great.
Okay, so if you scroll down on that page to step number 3, I'm actually giving away $15,000 worth of prizes. So in step number 3, you can get access to that. But it only takes about a minute to do the to sign up for the prizes. Basically, you can win 1 year worth of Dropbox. You can get 1 year worth of Evernote. You get the Fujitsu ScanSnap, Jambox speaker. You get an external battery charger. You can win 3 one-on-one coaching sessions with myself. You get a business blueprint analysis. Basically, we look at what kind of business you want to start and figure out all the nuts and bolts that you're going to need. We're going to design your business card. We're going to give you an external hard drive. And you're going to get 3 signed paperback copies of my book to give to friends and family. And that's just some of the prizes. There's lots more prizes too, but that's the number one prize. And the reason I'm giving away these things is because the Jambox and the Dropbox, the Evernote, and the ScanSnap, these are all things that I've traveled around the world with, and I still bring these things in my bag when I travel. So I just wanted to make the prizes relevant to people I want to inspire, I feel inspired to do the same. And it's actually a lot easier than you think to free yourself. A lot of people think that when they travel the world that it's going to be really, really expensive. I've actually found that I spend less money when I travel. Have you found the same?
How so? I actually do agree, but I'm curious to know, with your steps, what things have you, you know, what tips do you have, and why do you think that it is cheaper when you travel?
So one of the things is, when you travel, you have to simplify. You cannot bring all your stuff when you're traveling the world. And you don't really want to have 2 suitcases and 1 small bag and a backpack. You want to have, you know, I typically travel with a backpack, a small bag, and then like a normal suitcase. That's typically how I've traveled when I've stayed away for like 3-4 months. And through that process, you have to choose, like, what are the things that I really, really want to bring? So instead of asking yourself, you know, how can I bring more, you ask yourself, okay, what are the quality things that I want to bring? And that kind of mindset starts implementing into your life, right? So you go, okay, how can I live a simple life somewhere to the standard that I want? So you go to Airbnb, you know, because you don't want to stay in a hotel for 3 months. So what you do is you probably go on Airbnb. What I did actually when I went to San Francisco was that I rented a room in Berkeley Hills, and I had an amazing view of the Bay Area. And I paid $600 a month, and I had free food and wine. She had a wine cellar, the woman that I was renting from, and every day we had dinner together with other people staying in the house. And, you know, $600 a month, that had me covered for food and alcohol. Plus, I could park my car outside, right? And
yeah.
the view was amazing.
That's crazy. So, Airbnb instead of hotel.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, when you... Because you like, stay in a hotel. The maximum I can stay in a hotel is 14 days, right? It's like, that's the absolute maximum. I don't care how nice the hotel is. I don't care how nice the food is, because I've stayed in really nice hotels for a long time, and you just get so bored. You need a place to feel like home, right? And when you rent an apartment from somebody, you can ultimately get better deals. And what I did when I traveled was that I actually rented out my own apartment. So I was making a nice profit on the rental of my apartment in Oslo to pay for my travel in San Francisco, which was the place I really wanted to be.
Wow, that's right? Really smart. That's really smart. So you're one of the tips you had was, first of all, keep it simple, you know, like that formula, and then go the Airbnb renting route as opposed to hotels. And then if you even want to take that to another level, you can go to renting while you're leasing, you know, while you're also doing it back home. So it's Wow. Okay. Any other tips you have that travelers can do with freedom business?
Yeah, typically you don't need a car. I mean, it depends where you travel to, but like the typical places people want to go to are like New York or London or San Francisco, LA. Maybe LA you need a car. But a lot of these places you just use public transport. So now you're not spending money on gas, you're not paying for parking, you're not, you know, you don't have your insurance, all that stuff, right? So because you're a nomad, because you're traveling, you have to simplify. And simplification is a very effective way to live. And the more effectively you live, the less money you spend, right?
Okay.
The answer our brain will always give is more.
Yeah.
Our ego always wants more, mm-hmm. right? So by traveling, you're kind of forcing your ego to choose and select and simplify, and that feels really liberating as a person. To me, it feels, you know, our apartment in London, it's not massive. You know, we can only fit so many things. So the question isn't like, oh, should we go out and buy a new sofa? It's like, no, we don't have space for another type of sofa.
So true. Right?
So we have everything we need right now, and there's not really any space for anything new. But if we buy something new, we have to take something else out. And that, again, simplification, living a more simple life creates more abundance as well, right?
Yeah. No, I love it. And now, what if you want to take it to the next level, like to outsource? This is the last point I wanted to talk about before we went on, because I know you do. You have about three companies, right? Three or four? Three companies.
Three companies. Yeah.
And a lot of what you do is outsourcing. And this also goes hand in hand with having that independent location type of job. You know, whether it's getting, you know, a VA or getting someone else to do something. And it goes in line with the 4-hour work week. You know, Tim Ferriss is very big on this. But what is your system, and what do your companies do to help facilitate this for other entrepreneurs?
So I think the company that's relevant is MrOutsource.com. Mm-hmm. It's basically a recruitment company. So what we do is that every week, every month, we have training boot camps for people that want to be VAs for entrepreneurs. So we train Filipinos how entrepreneurs think, what they want, what kind of software you're likely to be confronted with, how to manage their calendar, setting up a Skype account, all the sort of basic stuff that most people that go on Craigslist and all these other places have no idea about. So we are really raising the bar in terms of talent, because we're already vetting people that we connect with our clients. We're training them. The people that we connect with clients have actually paid to go through what we call a VIP training. So they've spent 10 days with our staff training to become a good VA. So what entrepreneurs do is they pay us $497, and then we start looking for the right type of person for their company. After that, they become your employee. Now, because they've come through our company, we actually invoice the entrepreneur from our company, and it is a little bit more expensive than hiring them directly. But what we've found is that this is the absolute best solution, because before you would pay us $497, we'd give you the person and we'd say, off you go. That typically didn't work out well. That's because the entrepreneur needs training and the VA needs support. So what we do is, when you use our services, you get access to group coaching with myself. So every 14 days, I do a 1-hour training session on outsourcing techniques, tools, strategies, and you can ask me any questions you need. Or might want to, the VA also gets access to free training. So we actually charge 30% on top of their salary as a commission for maintaining certain systems in for you and for them. And all in all, this creates a better working environment for everybody. So it creates a higher level of success. And this has basically taken us about 3 years to figure out, because we've been trying out different types of business models, and this is the one that really works well.
So you basically give them the whole full service treatment, and that way do you handle the support as well? If they have a problem with the VA or virtual assistant or any of them, do you guys handle that as well?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfect.
I work with the entrepreneurs. My business partner, Regina, she's in charge of the company in the Philippines. She can be emailed at regina@mroutsource.com. We find you a person. If you don't like that person, within the 3 months, we will find somebody else for you. We maintain like a high level of talent, because we actually have a co-working space in the Philippines as well. So we also offer that to the entrepreneur. We say, you know, if your VA works in an environment with other VAs, you know, she becomes a better person, because instead of asking you, that she'll probably ask her co-worker at first, right? So it ultimately saves you a lot of time also. So she's asking her co-workers, oh, how do I do this again? And then they'll probably help her, and then she's not asking you for help. Right, so we're putting in place all these elements that really, really help entrepreneurs, internet entrepreneurs, digital nomads, to scale their business.
No, I think it's perfect. I think it's, you know, you talked earlier about building the freedom business, and you also talked about, you know, ways that you can set up systems, and it's all about setting up systems. When you're building that business, you want to be able to know that you have someone that's going to be able to answer your emails, going to be able to set up Skype calls, so you're not doing everything on your own. That way you can go focus on a lot of the other things that you're doing. It's not necessarily that you're going to work 4 hours every week, but you can set up the system where it's really optimized, that you have a lot more free time than you think you might have had. So I think it's interesting that you're doing that. So
I think a good example is our podcast Hardcore MBA. Like, we've had, you know, David Allen on, we've had Mark Divine, we've had multimillionaires, we had, you know, Brad Feld from TechStars was on, you've been on, and you know, the time I spend on the podcast is on the interviews. Like, that's all I do.
Right.
If I was to set up the interviews, do the copy, do the marketing, do the editing, do the graphics, do the newsletter, do the this, do the that, then that would be a full-time business for me, right? It would be a full-time thing. But what I do is I spend the time with the people that I want to meet, right? I do research on them, I talk to them, you know, I connect with them. So I'm adding the kind of value that I want to be adding. I think if I had to do all these other elements, it would really be draining for me. And I couldn't possibly have launched or started the podcast if it wasn't for my dream team helping me with making this happen.
Exactly. No, I hear you, and that's a great point. That's why outsourcing is one of the things that go hand in hand. Especially if you want to be like that, you want to have that nomadic lifestyle, you've got to be able to find a way. Because first of all, you're going to be dealing with people in different time zones, right? So you have to be able to attack that. And you're also going to be dealing with, other business day-to-day stuff. And you don't want to have to worry about certain things when you wake up and think, oh my goodness, I have to do this. So I think it's a great business model. And it seems like you said after 3 years, you found one that works much better than the others you tried, right?
Yeah, it's a hybrid model. So basically with Chris Ducker, virtual assistant services, they find and give you a person. As far as I know, that's what they do now. I haven't actually bought their service in a while. And then we have 123 employee with Devin Michael, who's like has a managed facility. I did use them and their services for a while. Didn't really work for me. So what we've done is we've created a hybrid between the two.
Gotcha. That's good. Now, where can we find a lot of your websites as we're wrapping up? Where can we find your websites, and I'm going to make sure I put them in the show notes. But how can people reach out to you, and what's coming up for you soon?
Okay, so right now we're really focused on the 2-year anniversary of my best-selling book, Never Work Again. And I realized I made a funny sound, which is in September. So basically on the 15th, you can go to youwillneverworkagain.com/launch, and you will be able to download my book for free. No questions asked. And then we're also doing the training starting in on the 17th of September. And basically, I'm going to take you through the strategies I use to, you know, pay myself up to $20,000 a month, only working a couple of hours a week. And then in step three, I'm going to give you the opportunity to win $15,000 worth in prizes only by spending a few minutes. So I'm trying to add a lot of value. And that's what I'm all about, you know, asking myself, like, how can I help people? That's why I started MrOutsource.com. You know, because what saved me in my business and keeps on giving me the lifestyle that I want is actually outsourcing and leveraging other people's time, working with cool people that are grateful for work. They call you sir. You know, if, when you outsource to the Philippines, they'll call you sir. When was the last time a employee in the Western world called you sir? Well, it doesn't happen. So you know, those are one of the little perks of outsourcing to the Philippines.
Gotcha. Hey, well, Emi, thank you for coming on, and we'll be sure to get as many people as we can to your promo for sure, because, you know, you do great work, and you basically, you know, the audience of the podcast is your key audience, because they're the ones that want to be able to travel and be able to build a business. But sometimes some of the things that hold them back is, well, how am I going to manage this? Is it more expensive than it is? And you've basically answered those questions today. You said it's actually not as expensive as you think. There are certain ways you can hack to make it a cheaper lifestyle while you can also work and make money. And then there are systems you can set up to make your life easier. So, you know, I appreciate you actually sharing that, and also sharing your story and how you went from someone who was just all about the money to realizing that, yeah, money is important, but, you know, there are other factors that have to be in place for, you know, like creating value, providing value, and just, you know, having that passion and desire to keep you in there long term.
It's all about the overall race.
All about that. Yeah, it's all about race. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm really, really appreciative of you coming on to share all that. I'll make sure I put all that in the show notes, and then we'll get many people as we can to your Never Work Again promo.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uydmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.